Alrighty, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Leviticus. Book of Leviticus, if you have your Bibles. Otherwise, I will read everything for you out loud out of the Word of God. I'll be reading that in Leviticus chapter 20. We're talking about foundations here. By the way, we're looking, we're going to finish up the foundation lessons pretty soon. We're going to start a series on, it's going to have to do with a series on marriage. And we're going to split the classes some of the time where I take the married couples and talk to them. We're going to work on our marriages and having exemplary marriages and really taking us from mediocre worldly marriages to prospering, victorious, godly marriages. And so I want to dig a little deeper than we have before. We've stepped aside for a few weeks and done it before. We like to go a little deeper with the couples and work with them a little more. And so we'll be doing that in about a month and finish up our foundations series. And we'll try to invite some folks who maybe don't regularly come to church but would like to learn about marriage some and work on some things that way. Today we're talking about the foundation of separation. Separation. I don't want to get too churchy here and use words that people don't know what they mean. So if you had a collection of foxes and you had a collection of chickens, you'd separate them. Okay, you wouldn't put them all in the same cage. Okay? That's separation in the Bible. Okay? There are certain things that are to be separated. This is probably, also the fear of God, which we'll probably talk about tonight. It's probably the lost doctrine of Christianity in America in our times now, is separation. Most Christians, you ask them about the doctrine of separation, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't understand that, and it changes your perspective on everything, and it's very important to God, it's very important we understand that separation. So many parents and so many churches and youth pastors have wondered why they have so much struggle with their young people and why their chickens get eaten by the foxes, and because they never understood the doctrine of separation. And so many average Christians in America that just are trying to serve the Lord and seem to really battle for holiness and really can't get it, a lot of it's separation. They wonder why they get devoured. They've never separated. And so it's an important doctrine in the Bible, and we want to talk about the foundation, the why of it, the purpose of it. So Leviticus chapter 20, and let's start at verse 24. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between the clean beasts and the unclean, and between the unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any living thing that creepeth upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. There's so many things to say right now from this passage and from this subject, but let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into this a little bit. Lord, we thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these great truths. Lord, separation is important, and I want to go at it a little different way as we're looking at the foundation of it, Lord, and please help me to do that justice, Lord, and I just pray you just take over so justice will be done on this subject, Father. Please speak to us and help us to grasp this truth and these truths and understand what you have for us. Thank you for being such a kind God and a good Father that you protect us and give us wisdom in these things. And we just pray you'd help us and help us understand and help us to grasp these things. In Jesus' name, amen. God chose Israel as his nation in the Old Testament. And by the way, to understand the Old Testament, you have to understand it that it's all revolving around a nation and God's separation of that nation from other nations. And God said, you are mine. And that was going to be a picture of God's relationship with a Christian in our times and in the New Testament times. And we'll be kind of all over the Bible and showing different passages. But God just, in this particular passage in Leviticus, as he's giving them the law, he says, this is why I have separated you. And then he uses a stronger word than separate. He says, I have severed you from other nations. He said, I've separated you, and I want you to separate clean and unclean. I want to separate different things, but I actually cut you off from other nations. And then when they go in the promised land, God shows very clearly, get rid of all these nations. We want you separated from them. You're a separated nation to me. And sometimes if you don't understand that God was separating a nation for himself, you don't understand the Old Testament. And it's written for a nation. It's that nation's laws and their relationship as a separate nation with God. And so understand our culture very subtly, and I don't want to sound conspiratorial because I don't think it's a group of, you know, Bilderbergers or Illuminati sitting somewhere doing this, okay? But understand the devil is a prince of the power of the air, and the devil is very subtle. And he, through a bunch of things in our culture, is removing separation and trying to make everything the same, okay? Moving a separation between clean and unclean, between holy and... He got away with it in churches in America. He said, you know what, be like the world. And he did it. I mean, he got away with it. The churches who believe in separation now are strange. If you can believe that. If you could have gone back 40 years and told Christians, hey, in 40 years, if you believe in separation, you're weird in Christianity, they'd say, nah, it never happened. He did it. Somebody pulled it off. Not everywhere, certainly. There's so great churches or in America and around the world, but he's done that. Listen, we're going, and might as well get myself in more trouble. I did it last week so much that I might as well do it this week. But God separates men from women. He wants them different. He makes them both wonderful and unique. God thinks of children differently than he does adults. The Bible says stand in the presence of an older person. Separate them in the way you think about them. God the first thing God did in the Bible, he separated light from darkness. That's the first thing he did. That's the beginning of creation, is separating light and darkness. He went, these two are separate, they're different. God likes to separate. And by the way, fooey on these unisex bathroom stuff. There's a difference. And all the blending of... Pick one. The one God gave you. Be that. Okay? But God believes in the separation thing. And the Lord separates things. And oil and water should be separated. Okay? You know what? Hey, you know what? I don't believe in discrimination. Antifreeze and oil, whichever hole I put them in, it's fine. We don't discriminate against things. If I put antifreeze in my oil, it's you know what? I don't discriminate. Okay, go ahead. See how that works for you. I don't discriminate chickens. Hey, listen, I'm not going to treat the kitty any different from the mountain lion who comes in the back of my house. I don't discriminate. Well, separation. And I'm not talking about racially. Look around in our church. There are certain things you don't separate in, okay? And nations, people are all the same, and our church is full of everything under the sun. Great. They're all humans. Okay, but separation is important, and there's a couple of things. Is some churches are weird on separation. The purpose of them separating. Let me get to my foundation here. Let me get to point number one. The purpose of separation is to be separated unto Him. I'm getting myself in all kinds of trouble. I haven't even given my first point yet. And the purpose of separation is to be separated unto God. He said, verse 26, "And ye shall be holy unto Me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine." Okay, there are weird churches out there that they're rare now, but there are churches that were harsh churches who believed in this kind of a holiness separation thing, which is fine, but they do not teach why. You are separated from something to something, okay? If you just separate, you're just weird or can be in a cult or in all kinds of things. When you're separating, you're separating unto God. In other words, I am with this here, this crowd over here, this system over here, the world system. I'm going to separate from them, and I'm going to separate, and I'm going to come over to God. I am not just separating into nothingness. You cannot do that. You'll be worse off than before when you fill up the voids with bad things. You've got to separate unto the Lord. You can't just get rid of the bad. You can't just get rid of bad friends. You can't just get rid of bad influence. You be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, Ephesians 5:18, but be filled with the Spirit. Yes, quit drinking, but you better, alcoholics better start getting full of the Holy Spirit, because there's a separation unto something. And you're separating unto the Lord. Best picture of this, 2 Corinthians 11:2 says, I have espoused you to one, even to Christ. The picture of God separating these people unto himself is a picture of marriage. And by the way, people who don't believe in separation of marriage. In the wedding vows, we say, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her or him. Why? Because at a certain point, I looked at my wife and said, I like her. And boy, she's godly and she's beautiful and she has the same things in life that I want to do. And you know what? I have these other girls, and there's all kinds. And I was at a Bible college where there was three girls for every guy, just about. And you know what? I said, you know what? I am separating from all those other girls. And I'm separated unto this one. And I said, that's the one I want. And so, I don't have any girls' phone numbers. I don't contact them on Facebook. Did I say I don't contact them on Facebook? Did I say that? Okay, I just want to make sure I said you don't contact your old girlfriends on Facebook. Because if you contact the other people on Facebook, you're very foolish and doing an unbiblical thing. Okay, you separate unto... Did I say you don't contact your old girlfriends on Facebook? Okay, we'll make sure we said that. Let me make sure. There's a lot of bad things in our nation going on with that right now. It's real bad. Okay? And so, I separated from them unto her. Oh, you poor thing, you don't have 20 girlfriends anymore. No, I'm happily married. I like being married. It's a good thing. And I'm happy because I got her. You know what? Because I came out from them. I didn't have 20 girlfriends before. It was 19. No, I didn't have a... We were together 4 years before we got married. And it just kind of happened naturally. We're involved in ministry together as teenagers and da-da-da-da-da. And we're happy. And we're still involved in ministry together. And so, why? Because I'm happy because I wanted her. Now, what if I said, honey, I want to marry you and I want to have... But I want that freedom. They call them now open relationships. Okay, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his spouse. So it doesn't work that way where you say, I want both. You got to separate. So the illustration of separation in the Bible is leaving something. So sometimes if a church that's good and teaches biblical separation and the separation from the world, it's going to say 2 Corinthians 6 and other passages, John 17, we'll read. It says, will you come out from the world? But if you don't teach, it's to get close to God. The kids who come into that will think that Christianity is all about rules. It's not about rules. It's about separating unto something. And so it's a purpose as God wanted them to be close to him. Let's go to, 1 Samuel chapter 7. And as we don't separate and we don't divide what's right and what's wrong and muddy up the waters and just a matter of how many verses I want to read here, we really get a culture that blends right and wrong and doesn't really think anything's really quite right and wrong and can kind of justify anything, and because there's no division of things. There's no good and bad. You know, I know it'd be hard for you to watch now and it'd be hard for us to understand it, but you know, America used to be so black and white that literally in the old movies, they wore black and white. The bad guy wore the black hat, and the good guy wore the white hat. Why? Because they wanted you to know this is a bat. And I know they didn't have it was silent movies sometimes, but that it was just kind of a this is the bad guy, and this is the good guy, and this is the good thing, and this is the bad thing, and you separate them. You don't put them together. And so 1 Samuel chapter 7, and God just talking about Israel and how the Lord wants to be have a relationship with them. And Samuel spake into the verse 3 and 4. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. So they had to put away from their old gods, and that's separation. And well, I better not read all these verses because of time, but 1 John 1, 5 through 9, it talks about God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we walk in the light and do evil, we're not walking the light, we're walking in darkness. There's a light in the darkness. James 4, 4 says it this way, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, God will separate if you don't. If you won't separate from the world, God separates from you. He says, you become my enemy. And I say that, and I say, boy, that sounds harsh, and that it sounds not the way we think, but it's what God says. He says, if you will be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So God says, choose. Do you want to be a friend of the world or my friend? The world system, the people out there, the way the world is run, the immorality of the world, and do you want to do that? He loves us, and he wants to be together with us. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'll read verses 7 and 8 again. If you don't have your Bibles, do you want to just listen as I read? You don't have to turn to all this. Deuteronomy 7. In verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because you would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he says, you know, I loved you. God says, I loved you, and that's why I separated you, because I wanted to be close to you. And that's what he does. Okay, now real important verse, 1 Corinthians 6. Let's look at kind of the whole picture of it. The purpose of separation is to be separated unto God, to get to him, to get rid of the things that are going to keep you from being close to him. 1 Corinthians 6. In verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members, the body parts of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. And he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinned against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? And so God says, you know, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God's. So stop this wrong thing so you can get to him. Now, we'll go to those verses a little bit later. So when I worked for a trucking company, we used to make a lot of money, our company did, on hazardous materials. And other companies didn't want to handle them, so we had to take all kinds of training to handle hazardous materials. And we do poison gas and poison and radioactive and all kinds of crazy things, low-grade radioactive. And we would handle all kinds of things that are very dangerous. And we had to know all the codes, what 6.1 meant, and which is poison gas and different things. You had to know all these different things and oxidizing and everything. And so anyway, on the back, on a truck, if say I got me a little container sent to a medical company of poison gas or poison, it'd be labeled and have a skull all over it and stuff. Well, we wouldn't load that in the truck. And when we put medical or food in this truck, we would put a tag up there with the paperwork that said medical or food. So you'd know, do not load any poison on here because you couldn't put them on the same truck. And so you had to separate them. Why? Because you don't want the poison in stuff. And there's certain things which are different chemicals. If they're on the same vehicle and they mix, it's... And so we said these things shouldn't go together and these things can't go together. And so we have to separate them very carefully. We won't even put them on the same trailer. A little leaven at the whole lump, you know. It says, talks about this in 2 Corinthians. And so we see that we've got to have that separation. We get rid of it and we do it so we can get to something. Get close to God. God does not want to dwell with certain things. He says in the same passage we read about him separating us in Leviticus 20, he says, "For I, the Lord, am holy. So separate the unclean from you, because I want to dwell with you. And I can't dwell with you if we have that." And so we have that. We separate in the hospital sick people from people who aren't sick. Right? When we're going to the nursing home across the street there to go visit or do a service, if we're sick, we don't go. A whole bunch of people can die from that. Well, I don't think you should discriminate. Well, I do. I think there's times when you got to separate things, when it's the right basis for separation, and you have that. And so we see that there, and it's what God wants us to do. And so God always has a clear separation between right and wrong. Let me take it Ezekiel. The purpose is so we can get to God. That God does not like unclean things. The Lord wants to dwell with certain things. And if we have things that he doesn't like, he will get away from us because we're icky. So we separate so we can get close to God. It's all about, not about this is so icky. It's, oh man, I can't get close to God with this. And when you get that down and when you long for God and you thirst for God and you want to be close to God, you no longer say statements like, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? You start saying, you know, if the Lord doesn't want me to have this, I'm glad to get rid of anything because I want the Lord. I want the Lord. I want him. And this seems to be a hindrance to me. And so, all right, let's look at Ezekiel 22. The Lord gets pretty mad at this nation, and he talks about why. And this is Ezekiel 22:26, God telling the nation why they're in trouble. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And I have hid my eyes from their Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. Now, God is going to say this multiple times. He says, my priests, my spiritual leaders, put no difference between clean things and unclean things. It means a preacher didn't get up and say, this is sin and this is right. And mix together what's right and wrong. And they mix the poison and the medical. God says, this is why I'm destroying this nation, because you put no difference in clean and unclean. And it's a strange thing. You preach that simple Bible concept and say, you know, what do you watch on television? Don't be judgmental on me. Legalist. I always love when they say, legalist, you're a legalist. Okay, here's my Bible. Show me the legalist in the Bible. You're a legalist. Okay, show me that in the Bible. It's legalism. Okay, show me that in the Bible. Well, you know, in the Bible where it talks about legalism. Okay, where is that? You know, legalism. I know you said that a whole bunch of times. Now, here's my Bible. Show me legalism in the Bible. That's not a Bible concept, not a Bible word. It's a man-made religion thing. Because you put a difference in clean and unclean, doesn't mean you're wrong. It means you're right. Okay? God doesn't like some things. The Bible says God hates some things. That's a Bible word, by the way, hate. God hates some things. Not people. No, I take that back. He does say God hates the wicked every day. God hates some things. And it's not America, it's not what we feel comfortable with, and you don't hate the wrong things, you full of love, God is love, I get that, but separating things is important. You confuse the people who know you, or you confuse the unsaved, let alone confuse your kids, let alone confuse young people, because there's no difference between clean and unclean, you just kind of bring it all in. Let's look at Ezekiel 44. So the reason is so he can get close to God, because God does not want to dwell among some things. in Ezekiel 44. In verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean. Ezekiel, this is when God says, when they get back, this is what will happen. Ezekiel 44, 23. So it's a good thing, and we can read other verses, but we get the idea. That, by the way, that was point number two, which God always wants a clear separation between right and wrong. Number one, the purpose of separation is separated unto the Lord. Number two, God always wants a clear separation of what's right and wrong. Number three, separation will make us different from others. Titus 2:14. The verse I should have here, it's in Hebrews, probably Hebrews 11, bearing his reproach. And that's Hebrews 11. Is that Hebrews 11, Jess? Another verse, Titus, turn to Titus 2. I'm going to find this verse real quick. It's in the word is. It says, let us also go without the camp bearing his reproach. It's Hebrews 11 or 12 somewhere. I'm not going to find it right now. Titus 2. Because it's important, it makes us different from others. Separation does. Titus 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God says, I want to separate to myself a peculiar people. Listen to that. Isn't that neat? God wants us to be different. Peculiar is the word God uses. Oh, you know, my flesh says I want to look and act and be just like everybody else. I don't want to stand out at all. But spiritually, God says, I want a peculiar people. I want to say, you know, if you don't stand out in this world, something's not right. Now, you might not have stood out 50 years ago. You might not stand out in an innocent culture. There's good cultures that are pretty clean in the world in different spots. We didn't stand out that much in the Philippines. But in America, oh man, you stand out if you're a real Christian. You stand out. And you know what? God says, that's okay. I want a peculiar people. You're separated. You're coming out from among them. And so you might talk different. You might not tell the same stories. You might not watch the same things as them. You might not dress the same as them. You might not use the same language as them. You might not, you know, you're just a little different. By the way, a church might be a little different than other churches. You might be peculiar. That's okay. There'll come a day, if we continue on our course as a nation, where every Christian's going to be, anybody who stands for God is going to be a nutcase. If we just continue the same pace we are in 15 years, if you're a Christian who's standing for God, they might lock you up. I mean, because you look so strange. If you're just a regular old Christian, Bible-believing, Bible, love the Lord and put him first and serve him. And you know, because we're not in the 50s anymore. The TV, you know, listen, I could show Andy Griffith in church and nobody would be uncomfortable. I could show Leave It to Beaver in church. Okay? Those things were, I mean, that was the culture. That was entertainment. That was what people watched. That was normal. And people thought, you know, it's kind of Lone Ranger. That was the culture. The entertainment follows the culture. If you show those nowadays, people would say, this is, nobody's, you know, I mean, it's just, it's different. Tonto is not some half-clothed woman. Okay? They'd say, well, what is this? This is boring. Because our culture's changing and we're going to stand out. Don't be afraid. Bearers reproach. Don't be afraid for people to think you're weird if you stand for God. Now, don't be weird on purpose. Don't act strange. Don't try to be weird. Don't try to be a problem. You get along with people. You're kind. You're sweet-spirited. You try to get along. You don't try to be strange. It's just when you separate, you're different. It's okay. It's okay. We were my family. Where were we? We went out for as a whole family to a restaurant, and cost a lot of money to take my family out to a restaurant. That night, two people came to us. One guy came to my wife separately and to me separately, both, and said, "Wow, your kids are amazing." And that same night, we got talked to four times by people commenting on, "Boy, I've never seen kids act like that at a restaurant." I should hope our kids don't look like the average kids in the world and act like them. Average kid, give me that, throwing their food and stuff like that. And we've had waitresses. We were in a restaurant one time and the waitress came and said, "I'm gonna be honest with you, when you came with those kids," she says, I was like, "Oh no, why did I get this big family? These kids are gonna be terrible." And she says, "I'll be honest, those are the best kids I've ever seen in my life." And she says, "I'm giving you all free dessert." She loaded us up with dessert and stuff like that. I said, "We're coming back here." And I got some too. And I'll separate for ice cream. If we do things right, we should look old. We're going to be peculiar. We'll be a little different. And we go to church when the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl. That's weird. But that's good. Amen? Amen. Don't say amen if you weren't there. Number three, separation makes us different from others. There's benefits of separation. Yikes, I bet it's late. Benefits of separation. Let's go to Proverbs. There's benefits of separation. When you come out from them and come unto the Lord and get close to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18. There's great benefits of separation. Proverbs 18, verse 1. It says, "Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom." And there's many other verses. Boy, we'll try to get to some of them. It says, when you separate yourself through having great desire, you seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. There's a wisdom and a knowledge for separated people who separate themselves. And I'll explain that in a minute. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, maybe the best passage on this whole subject. We haven't been there yet. 2 Corinthians 6. Separation. And at a certain point, as you start serving the Lord, you realize you have to separate from these people. And it'll break your heart. And I don't mean you should be mean to them and hate them, but they're just dragging you down. You just got to tell them, "I'm busy." Sometimes they'll say, "You know what? I can't hang around you anymore. Every time I hang around you, I do this. And I'm serving the Lord now. If you want to hang around with me, come to church with me." There's a time you have to do that. You do it lovingly and you do it with a broken heart, but separation has to happen sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. "Wherefore come up from among them," talking about the world and its system and its idols, "and be separate. And saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, but dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Isn't that good? God says, if you'll come out and separate, I'll be a father and you'll be my sons and we'll be close. And it says, if we have such great promises, let us get rid of all the filth in our life, because it's a wonderful promise and a wonderful thing. we're nearby. We'll go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I got way too many passages on this subject to show you, but I want us to be willing to separate so we can get close to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. "That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now with the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man be go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." So, see these things. It says those who separate themselves really get a special relationship with God, because God is holy and he wants us to be separated from an evil world. It says, those who, through desire, separate themselves, seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. Listen, there's a separatedness idea where I say, I'm going the extra mile. I really want God. Those who through desire separate themselves, seek and intermingle with all wisdom. And then Paul says in I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, he says, I so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I run to obtain. He says, I'm really focused on really getting this thing and getting God. Now listen, if you want to be elite in anything in life, you always have to separate yourself. Listen, there's a lot of people in the Navy. There's a few Navy SEALs. They didn't just one day say, you know what? I want to keep the same training and same practice and same everything as the rest of the Navy. I just want to be a Navy SEAL. You don't do that. You have to separate. You have to go out. And I've talked to people, multiple people who've been out and tried to become Navy SEALs and didn't make it. Couldn't make it. And they find out what you're made of. They find out before you even go through to the real intense training, they just find out if you even have the right makeup. And if you don't have it, if you want to be an Olympic gymnast, you got to separate. You can't live like other people. You're going to live strange. You're going to live strange starting 4 or 5 years old, 3 years old. You're going to live different than everybody else. You're not going to have the same social life. It is not a part-time thing. It is a separating to go to something great. And if you don't want that, it's fine. And I don't want to be a gymnast. I don't want to eat that way, and I don't want to live that way, and all those things. And I weigh a few too many pounds, and I can do the amazing tumble, but it doesn't look as good as them. But if you want to be an Olympic skater, you want to be a marathon runner, you can't. You know what? I'm hungry. Where's McDonald's? Can't do that stuff. Why? Because you're separated to do something great. And if you really want the Lord, it's really simple. You have to separate. You have to separate from this world. You got to say, you know what? This world is not my home anymore. I'm just passing through it. I'm not learning from them how to live. I'm not trying to be like them anymore. I'm not trying to impress the crowd of the world. I'm trying to separate from the world, actually, and trying to get to God. And I'm separating from some evil things in my life unto the Lord. I'm not just trying to be, I'm not doing bad things. Not doing bad things does not make you a good Christian. Walking with the Lord and knowing the Lord and pleasing the Lord makes you a good Christian. Those things are just hindrances to that. Just because you live a clean life doesn't mean you're a good Christian. Being a good Christian is being close to the Lord. And that takes a separation from the things that displease him, and that's the purpose of it. And be holy, for I am holy. I have separated you unto myself that you can be a peculiar people just that are close to me. And you know what? When I decided to serve the Lord and started getting close to God, the world started going away from me, and I started going away from the world, and we weren't the same anymore. I didn't have the same priorities anymore. My thinking was different, and that's the whole thing. It's a whole mindset. This world, you can, the song, you can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need their fame. It's my desire to live for him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Separation from the world, separation from evil things, separation from the things that keep us from God. That's a foundation of it. It's really the foundation is getting close to God, getting to be close to the Lord and separating because of that. And I know some churches who talk about holiness don't preach that part of it. They just preach the get rid of the evil. That's fine, but get to God. He's what he's all about. It's all about him and the Lord and being close to him. All right, let's bow for prayer. Any questions before we pray? Any questions? Got it? All right. Good, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, it sure is good to serve you and get close to you. Thank you, Lord. This group of people right here, they separated from what a lot of people, even in their own homes, are doing, and they came to church. They came to hear the word of God preached. Thank you for separation in that way, and thank you they are here and faithful. We pray that we'd have a great week this week and great day today in preparation for it. That you'd speak to our hearts. You bless the service to follow. May, Lord, we realize that this world's going to pass away. This whole system that seems so dominant and so important right now, it'll be a mockery and a little footnote in eternity. But Lord, really, we're getting close to you and serving you is what it's all about. Help us to separate unto you, and that you'll be a father to us, and we'll be your close children, and a peculiar people, and a special people that you love and you're close to, that have separated unto you to live for you and to love you. Help us to live separated lives, separated families, separated church. Help us to be a people who are separated. And we thank you for the word of God that teaches us. Help us to remember, though, Lord, it's all about getting close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're back for a minute.